Good evening. We're continuing in Megillat Rut. We're holding the first chapter, and we are up to Pasuk Chet. Vatomer Naomi lishtei chaloteha. Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, Leich nashovena isha leveit imaha. You should each go back and return to your mother's home. Yas Adonai imachem chesed. Hashem should do kindness upon you. Kasher asitem imametim veimadi. As you have done with the deceased and with me. You took care of me after the children died. And here we see the first time the term chesed. Yas Hashem imachem chesed. Hashem should do kindness unto you, as you have done unto the deceased and unto me. Yas Hashem imachem chesed. Yas Hashem, the tetragrammaton. Hashem should do kindness with you. When we speak to a convert, on the one end, we spell out to them, bad idea, don't convert. We give them all the reasons why it's dangerous, why it's difficult, why it's harmful, why it could be detrimental to one's health and one's life. And what we're saying is true. Jews have been murdered and persecuted, it's all true. Yet at the same time, on some level, we're hoping they're going to make the right decision. We have to do our end. And so Naomi is alluding, the Midrash says, when she says to them, may Hashem do kindness upon you. On the level, she's saying, go back to your mother. But beneath the surface, she is actually blessing them and wishing them that they should succeed in converting. And when they convert, Naomi knows that if they do convert, their life is going to be difficult. And so Naomi, our sages say, when she's blessing them, may Hashem do kindness upon you, she is really giving a blessing that has dual meaning. What they hear is her blessing, go back to your mother. And when you go back to your mother, Hashem should bless you and things should go well for you. But what she really means is, go back to your mother, to your Jewish people. And this is a level of prayer that she doesn't tell them. And I wish you that Hashem should minimize the suffering you'll have, because Geirim undergo suffering. Because I know that if you take the course of Giyur, you're not going to have it easy. And so Chazal say, when she said Ya'as, we read it, the letters are Ya'aseh. And yet the hay is missing. And that's an indication. The hay is the letter with which Hashem created this world. Behi Bar'am. That's a reference to the idea that in this world a ger has it difficult. A ger can't expect to have it easy. And so the Midrash says her blessing to them was Ya'as. May Hashem do kindness with you. She says it without the hay. She's indicating, I know that if the kindness that I wish upon you, but I'm not going to spell out to you, that you do succeed in converting happens, then Hashem should do kindness with you, because in this world, it ain't easy for a ger. And here the Midrash asks, why ain't it easy for a ger? And the Midrash gives different answers. Pasuk Tet. Yitein Adonai lachem. May Hashem give you. Umtzeina menucha isha beit isha. May you each find tranquility in your husband's homes. She wishes them to get remarried. Vatishak lahen, vatisena kolan, vativkena. And she kisses them, and they raise their voice, and they cry. Vatomar nala, and in unison they tell her, ki itach nashuv leameich. No, we're not going back to our nations. We're not going back to our religions. We are coming with you. We are coming back to convert. ותאמר נעמי שוב ונבנותי למתי לך נעימי. Naomi tells them, "Return, my girls. Why would you come with me? Ha'od livanim b'me'ay v'ayu lachem la'anashim. Do you think I still have children that I could bear that would give you husbands? Shov na v'notai lechna. Go back, my girls. Go. Ki zakanti miyot le'ish. Because I'm too old from getting remarried. Ha ki amarti yeshli tikma. Even if I were young and I think, wow, I have a chance. Gam hayiti alayla leish vegam yaladti banim. Even if I were to marry tonight and I were capable of it, and even if I had children tonight, halahein tisaberna. You think you should wait for them? Ad asher yigdalu, till they grow up. Halahein teyageina levilti heyot leish. Are you going to wait for them like an aguna, like a woman who has no husband, her husband's missing? Don't you realize that you need an ogen? You need an anchor? You need to be married. You think you will manage alone? I tell this to my friends as their daughters reach a certain age. I say to them, marry them now. Better you compromise now than you compromise later. Because as a girl reaches a certain age, if she's not married, then she has a very hard time having an anchor. Especially in today's day and age. Because she's out in the workforce. She's exposed to all the different young men that are out there that really do not fit her values. And it's very hard for her to have an anchor to hold on to her value system. And so once a girl reaches a certain age that you see she's trying, it ain't happening. Then a person sometimes has to say, okay, I'm not getting what I'm waiting for. Then let's find what we can manage with. If it's not what we were hoping for, then at least what can work. Because the alternative is very often much, much worse. Naomi tells them, how many years could you be alone? How many years do you think you'll hold on to this value system if you don't have a family? One of the hardest things to do is hold on to a value system when you're all alone. And so Naomi tells them, "Halahein teyageina, you're going to wait for them to be your anchors. Levilti heyot leish, and you're not going to marry anyone else. Al benotai, no, my girls. Ki mali meod mikem, ki yatze avi yad Adonai. I am so embittered. I am even more embittered over you." Because I am so aware that Hashem has done this punishment. This didn't just happen. You guys have to move on with your lives. Hashem's punished me, but you, move on. Vatisena kolan vativke naod. So they all raised their voices and continued crying. And the conversation that's taking place right now is a conversation of seemingly equals. These two princesses who gave up so much to be married to these two princes, these two giants, Mahlon and Chilion, are talking to Naomi, and Naomi equates herself with them. Thank you for all the kindness you have done for me. When in fact, Naomi is holding the key to their whole lives, if they'll join her, as we see will happen to Ruth. But Naomi is right now speaking to them as those who did kindness to her. And she's showing appreciation and she's talking to them as an equal and saying, look, it's really dangerous for you to take this route. You're much better off going the other route. And now they will have to make their decisions without bias, without partiality, without thinking of what benefits they'll have. On the contrary, thinking of what losses they have to take in order to make this move. Vatishak Orpa lachamota. And so Orpa kisses her mother-in-law and leaves. Verut davekaba. And Ruth clung on. So Orpa leaves. And one of the challenges in life is when you're really close to doing something great and you turn your back on it, it's hard to hold on to your self-value. One of the dangers when we have one major failing is that we shouldn't have another one. When we have students who decide they're exiting the Giur program, they're going to be Noahides, I sit down with them and I compliment them. And I tell them, look, it's a noble decision you've made, and stick to the Noahides. Because it's very tempting to make it an all or nothing. And when a person realizes that they're striving for the all, and then they take a step away, sometimes they're tempted to take a step off the cliff. It's not just a step away from the greatness that they were about to take upon themselves. And so that's what happens to Arpa. Our sages say that night, she went and slept with another 100 men and a dog. So it's not natural. Our sages say Arpa means that when she was intimate with men, she wasn't even face to face. Arpa. She was known as the woman who people saw her back. Arpa. Arpa. She turned her back on Naomi, and then she ended up mothering the five giants who would be the great enemies of Israel, including Goliath. Goliath, our tradition, was the son of Arpa, as was Yishbi, a very powerful warrior who had six fingers on each hand. Five sons she had, who would be the arch enemies of the people of Israel and of David HaMelech. So Arpa turned her back, but as often happens when people turn their back, they don't just take a walk, they go the extreme of the other direction. And Ruth clings on. Vatomer Hinei Shava Yevimtech Elama Ve'elelocheha. Naomi tells her, your sister-in-law just went back to her nation and her religion. Shuvi Acharei Yevimtech. Go back after your sister-in-law. So if this is read the way it's written, there's a big question here. You cannot tell a non-Jew, so-and-so just went to serve idols, go after them. Naomi can't tell her that. You're not allowed to say that to a non-Jew. Go be a pagan. You're not allowed to. So, I suspect, I have not found this written anywhere overtly, but I suspect that when Naomi stuck in the words, look, your sister-in-law went back to her nation, she purposely added, and to her religion. And she wasn't doing this to push Ruth away, but rather she was doing it to help Ruth see the danger of taking the path. On one level she says, go. But on the other level she's revealing to Ruth, don't think that Orpa just left me. She left monotheism, she left all her values. And on some level, she's alluding to Ruth, what can happen. If I'm right, then that's a very big insight in terms of what you can say to a person in the Giur process. But I don't have a proof that I'm right. I just have a question. How could Naomi say such a sentence? How do you tell a non-Jew, go be a pagan? He's not allowed to be a pagan. So then why'd she stick in the point? She went back after her religion. Why did Naomi mention that? So I suspect maybe she mentioned it on the contrary, to give Ruth room to think, should she really make the move? She has to push her in that direction, but she's still giving her the tool to overcome that challenge. Vatomer Ruth, al tifgeivi. Ruth says, please, don't insist. Leozveich lashuv me'acharayich. Don't annoy me. Don't tell me to leave you. Ki, because I want to be a convert. El asher teilechi eilech. I'll go wherever you go. Naomi tells her, you know, on Shabbos, Yom Tov, you can't walk more than 2,000 footsteps outside the city. Ruth says, I'll go wherever you go. If a Jew can't walk more than that, I won't walk more than that. Uvasher talini alin. I'll go to sleep wherever you go to sleep. She says, you know, if you become Jewish, you can't sleep in the same room as another man or a non-Jew. She says, I'll sleep wherever you sleep. Amechami. She says, you know, we got 613 commandments. She says, whatever your nation keeps, that's what I'm keeping. Ve'lohayich Elohai. Naomi tells her, you know, we're not allowed to worship any other being other than Hashem. She says, the God you serve is the God I serve. Naomi tells her, you know, it's not a game once you join. We have a court. And after you've joined, if you decide that you're not keeping a mitzvah, the court can give a person one of four death penalties, which can include stoning a person, burning a person, killing a person by sword, or hanging a person. And Ruth tells her, Basher tamuti amut. Wherever you die, I'll die. She says, you know, you don't even get the regular burial if the courts kill you. There's a separate burial plot for those who are killed by the courts. Ruth says, Visha mekaver. I'm fine being buried wherever you get buried. And I don't want you to continue. Enough. Stop talking this way, Ruth tells Naomi. Ko yaseh Adonai li v'cho yosif. Ki hamavet yafrid b'ni u'v'neich. She says, Hashem should do more to me the way He's done until now. As difficult a life, I swear by all the difficulties I've had, that until death do us part. Ki hamavet, only death, yafrid b'ni u'v'neich, will separate from me and you. Okay? She said what she said. I don't remember if there's a medrash that points this out, but it's worth noting. Ruth said Hashem should do this to me again. And in fact, this is what happens to her. She marries Boaz at the end of the Megillah. Those of you who listened to the WhatsApp this morning know our tradition is that very night, Boaz dies on her again. So she did, what she said here actually came true. Our sages say, I don't know if they say it about this, but in general, Chazal say, be careful what you say. Brit kuta lasfatayim. God made a pact with our lips. We say things, then Hashem says, Hashem listens, so to speak.
Boaz died on
her. Boaz died the night of the wedding. They were together one night, and the next morning he was no longer with us. Vatere. Naomi saw ki mitametzeti lalechet ita, that Ruth was powerful in her insistence to go with her. Vatechdal ledaber eleha. She stopped talking to her. The halacha says, note what it says in the pasuk. She stopped talking to her. That means from this moment onward, she stopped talking to her about her responsibilities in Judaism. When a person is serious and has proven themselves they want to convert, the halacha says take a step back and don't look over their shoulders. They're going to make mistakes and you're not supposed to comment on it. It's halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Ein medakdekinimo. The Shulchan Aruch says don't look at every little thing they do. He made a mistake, that's fine, move on. That's halacha in Hilchos Geirus. Vatechdal ledaber eleha, our sages say, doesn't only mean now at this juncture, Naomi stopped talking to her. It means from this point onward, she no longer commented about Ruth's Giyur. From now on, you're in, and from that point onward, she wasn't going to start correcting her, you should have done that different or that different. Ruth is going to convert within a day. But at any rate, the point is, after a person converts, don't make comments. And the people who have to be most careful about this are the Gerim themselves. The people who are most zealous against Gerim, in my experience, are Gerim. I for every complaint I get about a person in the conversion process from someone in the Machon, I can probably count 20 or 30 that I've gotten from Gerim. After a person's been through the process and they're sincere, there's something inside them that says, I don't want fakes. I'm for real, and I have no patience for people who are less than that. And I see this all the time. So the people who have to be most careful not to comment to Geirim are Geirim, because they have the greatest weakness to make tremendous demands of someone else in the process. Very often I'll get someone who did Geir who comes and says, you know, so-and-so isn't sincere. They're not for real. Come on, take a break. Leave him alone.
The same place about Tshuvas too?
Baal Tshuvas have a different weakness. Baal Tshuvas think everyone's wrong. I'm serious. For Baal Tshuva, no one's good enough. Doesn't matter if it's another Baal Tshuva or it's the Gadol Hador. Whoever Baal Tshuva looks at, he's always looking for, maybe that was wrong. It's different. I'm not joking, I'm serious.
Wow.
It's a different weakness. But both have to outgrow it. A Ger has to outgrow his challenge, and a Chozer B'Tshuva has to outgrow his challenge. That doesn't mean that an FFB doesn't have the same challenges. It's just different. The Gemara in Tractate Pesachim tells us that Geirim shouldn't make their own party to eat a Karban Pesach. Why? Because they're so into the mitzvah, they might break a bone because they're so careful not to break a bone. Because they're overly zealous. The Gemara says, Geirim are kashim kisapachas liYisrael. Converts, it says, are have a certain damaging impact on the rest of us, because Hashem looks from heaven and sees how sincere they are, and looks at the rest of the Jewish people and says, why aren't the rest of you up to their standards? That's what Tosfos says. Back to our pasuk. So the two of them went. The Medrash says, the pasuk purposely said, the two of them went to tell you how much Hashem loves Geirim. The minute Ruth has decided to become a convert, the pasuk equates her with Naomi. But she didn't yet convert. It doesn't matter. Now from this Medrash we also see that by Naomi challenging Ruth, Ruth came to her conclusions. The challenge is not just the halacha. It's not just, yeah, go through the motions. It's also to help the person reach their conclusion. I've had situations where I sat with someone in the conversion process in the office and I said, do you know why you want to convert? And the guy goes, I have to think about it. I can't define it. I said, okay, I think you should think about it. I think you have to come to some kind of conclusion. I can tell you why you shouldn't convert, but you have to think about if it makes sense why you should. When we challenge, so the Medrash over here says, when Naomi finished challenging Ruth, Ruth made a decision. And when the pasuk equates them, it's because Ruth was solid in her decision after that. Admoana Beit Lechem. They walked in unison until they came to Beit Lechem. Vateyom kolayir alein. Vatomarna hazot Naomi. The whole city was stunned. They said, is that Naomi? Is that Naomi that you'd never see her walking alone? Is that Naomi that whenever she'd go, she'd wear the fanciest clothing, she'd be in the fanciest chariots, and now she's walking barefoot in rags? Look what happens to people who go to Chutz Laretz. So the whole city was talking. And that's what people were saying. And that's why did the whole city see them walking in? They tried slipping in quietly. They were going to go back to some kind of property that Naomi still had in her family. Why was everyone there? Chazal say Hashem prepares things in advance. And so prior to their coming, Boaz lost all his 70 children. Boaz had 70 children, and they all died. Boaz now buried his wife, and everyone came to do kindness unto Boaz, the leader, as he went to bury his wife. So they're all going in the funeral procession outside the city to bury Boaz's wife. It's Chol HaMoed Pesach, and in comes Naomi and Ruth. We have to pause. It's time for dinner to be continued.